Debris, experts in business, leadership, and lifestyle.
Skilling your softly to a successful you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Boom! And we're up and running. Oh man, I can't tell you the joke me and Deb just shared, but hello and welcome to the show. Yes, listeners, of course, you are here. Yes, you are here to, of course, UK's Health Radio, Paul and Deb's very own magazine show. Boom! Ah, we're in and we're up and running.
Do you reckon that hurts people's ears?
Oh, massively.
When you boom. What if they've got like ear plugs in and things?
You mean urine aids?
No.
Well, if you're plugging, that means they hear less, you crazy bird.
No, but I didn't mean that, did I? I meant, what are they called?
Urine aids?
No, go away. You know what I mean? I can't think of the word.
So what's different about the show today is, yes, the co-presenter who is on the jingle, sung into the jingle on the way in, was written on the radio show promotional ad that's on UK Health Radio website, is actually you today. I mean, I was actually thinking, do I need to get another jingle that doesn't include you? Because you kind of, oh, Paul, I can't do this week. Oh, I can't be there this week. I'm travelling. I'm out and about. It's like, it's not fair in the listeners, do you know what I mean?
Well, now you've stuck me right in it.
Is that gaslighting?
Oh, you're good at that.
Is that gaslighting, though? Because you've been calling me a gaslighter for the last couple of months. You know, is that gaslighting? Because I don't quite understand it.
Well, what you're doing is you're putting me on the spot in front of people, so that's not gaslighting.
Let me just backpedal there. You have a few beers and always put me on the spot. Can we stay a little bit more? Do you mind we sleep in this person's house? Can they sleep down? Always when you're having a few vodkas
because,
in you.
Because, you know, it's the Irish in me and that's what you married. And Irish people, excuse me, some Irish people don't know when to stop. And I'm one of them.
But we haven't got a spare, we haven't got a visitor's room.
I want to stop. If it's evening and people are around, I'm so social. I don't want it to stop. So that's what happens.
But here's the thing, you ask people at the time of night when it's time to go home, we've all had a few suds and we got no bed, which means I'd have to go up the attic to get the blow-up bed, intoxicated, by the way. Do you know what I mean?
Listen, listeners, this is the guy, when we first moved to our new house, sang in like 11 o'clock at night all the way down the lanes of about 2 miles and back because he was out of his tree. So
you shouldn't say that on air. I'm not Irish, so I can't get away with it. I'm a very responsive.
You're a Celt.
I'm a very. I was thinking of getting a kilt.
Okay.
A Welsh kilt. Mm-hmm. I really fancy the idea of having that, just that freedom to not wear trousers. Mm. You know, or pants, depending where you are in the world. Do you know what I mean? But I think they had it right. Can imagine how great that must feel just to have that air all around your body. No, do you know what I mean? On a serious note.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, you're asking me, do I know how it feels? Of course I know how it feels. And McGee feels.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. It feels freeing.
You know, I'm going to go for that this year. I'm going to just put one on and just see what people say.
You could be the kilt coach.
The kilt coach. The kilt coach, the killing coach. Although, look out for go on my Facebook, listeners, because you see, I've started my killing you softly again.
Skilling you softly,
that's the one, skilling, whatever it is, but it's definitely changed. Very, very much. But thank you, Deb, for that kind of insight. Yeah, so I am. So, you know, we coming back, it's nice to have you back on the show, Deb. It's nice
thank
for
you
to be here. And we have a lot of great guests coming in again over the last couple of months. Really looked at, you know, who we want to bring in that brings value to the listening ear for our listeners, you know. Mm. So I'm really excited about what's coming. And above all, you know, really excited about... Oh, let me just come in also, listeners. Do you know what? We moved and people say it takes time to settle in a new house. really didn't get that. I didn't, I'll be honest, you know, I thought I just wasn't going to settle in this new home. What I want to say to people out there is when you move, the realization is the moving in and getting all the pictures up and things are the easy bit. It's actually the emotional settling.
But what you're talking about actually is not just moving house, it's when you move area.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise it was going to bring back a ton of emotional triggers by moving. Mm-hmm. So as a child, we moved a lot. I moved a lot as a child.
But you moved a lot in the same area, didn't you?
Yes, but even though it was the same area, it was seen a big move. Just from street to street, the way I was brought up.
Right.
Then when I moved from village to village, and that was a big one because that was a change in, you know, what bus I was catching at school. And I may not seem a lot, you know, you laugh and you're right.
No, I hear you. No, I hear you. As a kid, I get it. I get it. It's a big move, isn't it, as a kid?
It is. And, you know, here's the thing is that disruption brought so much stress to my childhood thinking of that time. A lot of stress to the point, you know, where I tried taking my own life. You know, I'm 12 year old, taking an overdose. And that was because my parents had moved us from one village to another village, probably no more than 4 or 5 miles apart.
Well, I see that. I see how that can be a big thing for a kid. But also, don't forget, they moved into a career as well, didn't they?
Yeah.
A 24-hour career almost.
Yeah, they ran a pub.
Yeah.
And, you know, and whilst somewhat there was this image, this great thing of, oh, you know, Paul's mother and father run a pub. And in those days, it was quite a prestigious thing to own your own business.
Yeah, yeah.
But the disruption to that was, of course, yes, I lost my parents
because
they became a slave to the business. But for me, it was I lost everything I had in that village that I knew.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, of course, I went on a destructive path, I would say, where I got in trouble with the law, try to take my own life and, you know, lots of these things. But what I suppose what I'm getting to here is when we moved here, this is probably our only third move together. In our first move, we moved from one end of the complex we were living in to the other, which was no more than a 3-minute walk.
Right.
So effectively, we didn't move.
Right.
But when we moved here, it was... I found it really emotionally testing where I found myself bringing back all those lonely thoughts, feeling isolated.
Yeah.
I almost felt like I was a prisoner in this area. That's what it felt like. And, you know, you had the brunt of it because I was like, I can't be here. I can't do this. And we had some very, you know, deep talks about what I was feeling. And I have no doubt you were lonely going through that yourself, Deb, because... I said I wasn't there to support you because I couldn't find myself supporting myself.
Yeah.
I was very much in a mess. And that realization is you just don't realize, listeners, what's sitting in there, what's still sitting inside you think is not there.
Right.
And I'm 54 years of age and this move brought back. So the emotions I felt 42 years ago.
Yeah.
So they had lied dormant. The moving trigger, the loneliness that came the moving home trigger, lie dormant for 42 years until I moved here. And it came right back to the surface. Yeah. Not to the surface, but it was in me. I thought I was going into a deep depression. I thought this place, this home was going to take me into a deep depression, living here.
Yeah.
I remember pulling up in my car thinking, I cannot live here. I cannot live. There was nothing about it. I didn't want to come home.
No.
And it took about 4.5 months for me to really understand. And I'm saying, listeners, you know, I really did try listening to myself. Where's it coming from? What am I feeling? Why is it? And there was loads of things we spoke about that weren't resonating.
Yeah.
But what I didn't look at is, what can we do to stay? And we had that first conversation about 3.5 months in. What can we do to stay? And then effectively, of course, we started looking at this place as a family, not just a move.
Yeah.
And that changed things for me.
And that was only a week ago.
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's shocking how emotions lie still for so long.
They trigger it and something triggers them up.
Yeah, and they seed quickly. They blossom quickly. Emotions do.
So what does that tell you? That tells me which is what I kind of preach anyway, is that old stale energy lies dormant in your body, like you said, and it's old stale actual energy, because your thoughts now of your environment go straight down into the energy and bring it up as an emotion.
Yeah.
Right.
Where, I mean, my I suppose my thought process is, where is this little filing cabinet then? Where, because, you know, so I've got this watertight, airtight filing cabinet somewhere inside me that isn't open to anything other than the exact trigger, the exact key, let's say, emotional key, that can get into that watertight emotional safe. Nobody else can, nothing else can get into it. Now, we could have stayed where we were, living in our home for the next, rest of our life, and I would never have experienced that trigger.
Right.
So that safe would have just stayed there inside me, that lockup safe.
But you know, it would have made you ill. Because it's all those little ones in there, the old stale energy. Because all illness is an emotion first. So if you've got buried stuff, buried anger, buried resentment, buried fear, you know, because that's what it was, Paul. It was a fear.
Yeah, but you don't always bury it, Deb.
No, that's right.
I didn't always bury it till I came here.
That's right. So what we have to do is we have to get into the filing cabinet and change what's in there. And the filing cabinet is in our subconscious mind. It has a memory of everything.
I mean, worrying for me, because I'm like,
because it's not like that.
Safe, so I have that are holding, you know, these watertight, airtight emotions.
But when I say it makes you ill, it could just be it makes you a little bit more susceptible to headaches, or a little bit more susceptible to stomach aches, or something like that. Doesn't mean, you know, you're really ill or anything. People that are going around carrying resentment and anger from the past, and it keeps coming up and it keeps spouting, that's going to make you not well. If you keep getting fear that comes up and spurts all the time, because what it brings up is cortisol, and cortisol is a flight or flight response.
Okay.
And it floods your body with adrenaline, and that's what allows you to either fight or to get away.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you that adrenaline. So when you're having that cortisol flood your body all the time, that's only meant for rare occasions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make you ill.
Wow.
And you know, but it's all depending how much all that stuff comes up, you see. So if you are, you're in a good place, Paul. You're in a very good place. So you don't live in that anger. You don't live in that place.
Mm-hmm.
And you've dealt with a lot.
Yeah, but so, that's my job, though, is to deal with it.
Yes, but you still have.
Yeah.
So that's your. So you're lighter in that area, if you see what I mean,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can get people that you think, oh my goodness, you know, they're just, you know, angry all the time, mm-hmm. get upset about this, that, and the other, and the way they show it is through their anger and all of that. Grumpy people, you know. Grumpy, pessimistic people, they're having that negative energy going through their body all the time. So anyway.
But we're not born that way, no.
No, that's all.
Do you think it takes a lot of endurance to stay that way? Because naturally we are born happy people.
I think it does. But again, that's on a subconscious level. Because for the people that are doing it, it's just a reaction. Mm-hmm. It's just a knee-jerk reaction. This happens, triggers me, I get like this.
Yeah,
but they're not consciously thinking of this. It's their subconscious that's going, whoop, we know that one. Woof, that's your response to it.
Wow.
So it's a knee jerk. It's not even thought about.
Let me jump in there, because here's the thing. Let's go back to, listen to this. As you know, we are lucky. We're living in a converted barn. It's a beautiful building. It's surrounded by,
Rolling hills
and cheap and all kinds of stuff. And so it's a lovely home to live in where we are. So effectively, I didn't come to, a new home to live in that was a testing environment. It was free. So it's not the quality of what's happening.
No.
It's because, this was an upgrade for us effectively.
Yeah.
So what do I have to complain about? What was it that was creating that cause and effect for me?
Mm-hmm.
when there was a solution to everything that I was feeling and missing. Yeah. There's a solution.
Yeah.
You know, I was concerned that there was nothing new for me. I was concerned that I had no mountain biking as such and things. I was concerned about those things, but effectively we have a solution because we have cars, we have bike racks, I have time, I run my own business,
yeah,
and all that. So what I said, you know, what I'm coming to is, it's amazing because your emotion cares not about whether it's an upgrade or downgrade. They just recognize that trigger that's been waiting for 42 years to say, here I am, I'm now going to bite you right in the bottom.
Yeah.
Because you've been waiting for me and this is what you experienced.
Because
if I remember the moving, every time we moved home, we did move essentially for an upgrade. We moved from a smaller house to a bigger family. Mother Fu moved to the pub for a better career opportunity for them.
Yeah.
You know, so effectively we moved, we upgraded, but it wasn't an upgrade for me emotionally. It was a downgrade.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's like winning £1 million in a lottery, but yet being very unhappy because somewhere there's a trigger. It's just mental.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah.
And we are so...
complex.
Complex, yes.
Yeah, because somebody could win the lottery, you know, and have £6 million, but now all of a sudden what comes up is guilt. Guilt, who do I give it to? I don't deserve it. I'm going to have to give it away and give it to this person, get, you know, and all that. And who do I give it to and how much? And there's just no rest, no peace.
Yeah.
And then if they don't, then they're a horrible person. All of that stuff comes up. But the thing is, what was happening with you, Paul, is no rationality was going to change it. Nothing in you. Until we got into the trigger and exposed it and said, oh, it's this.
Yeah.
You see, that's why awareness eliminates it. Mm-hmm. And that's what they say, what you look at disappears. So what?
Oh, you have to explain that to me again. I don't get that.
Well, yeah, when you're resisting something, it persists. So there's another thing there. It's like what you resist persists. So
okay.
If you're saying to yourself, oh, I don't want to move, I don't want to move, I don't want to move, right? Just for instance, then all you are bringing into your world is moving, 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 because the knots and the don'ts and the won't, you know, don't work. So you're all you're thinking about is actually moving.
Mm-hmm.
So what you resist persists.
Yeah.
But what you look at, meaning your trigger.
Yeah.
It was all about, you were trying to find a rational, logical explanation for why you were unhappy here.
Yeah.
No biking, no this, you know. But when you delve deep into the... And none of that was gonna change that trigger because it's not a logical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when we found the trigger, we said, oh my gosh, it's about when you were moved and you were unhappy and all of that. So what you looked at lost its power.
Wow.
See?
Is it that simple then? Recognize the trigger.
It's the awareness. It's all depending because we're not moving house all the time. But if you've got a trigger that can come up every week, you keep looking at it and it loses its power more and more and more and more.
So do you think if we move again, I'll not feel that?
Probably not. You've done that trigger now because you know what it is.
Wow, let's just keep moving then. There's no stress. There's no stress anymore.
Right. But you don't need to now.
No, I love where we are.
There we are.
And it is strange. Because suddenly I went from waking in the morning thinking I hate living here to suddenly waking in the morning out of the blue thinking, wow, I love it here. I love driving here. I love driving through the lanes to be here now, you know.
Yeah.
And all that wasn't feeling that way.
No.
And how many people do you think, you know, well, not many people. So this is commonplace for a lot of people in their life where there's triggers that come from, you know, for me, this was a very invisible trigger.
Right.
That has just waited 42 years. So how many people do you think, so people out there have triggers that are just waiting, like little pests, little bugs, yeah. Just waiting there and they pop up the moment the feeding of our memory pops into that little bug and says, whoop, here we go.
Wake up, emotional bug.
Wow. I really don't know what to think about this.
But the thing is, you see, you can look at it in two ways. You can say you had that little bug inside you okay, that was there for 42 years, and if we hadn't moved, it would never have been realised.
Yeah.
But you went through the pain of that bug coming up, but now it's gone.
Mm, true.
So you're not carrying that anymore.
It's really weird because I can't find it.
Yeah, there we are.
Isn't that weird?
You looked at it and it lost its power.
It's like it didn't happen.
Right.
It's like if you come and said, do you remember that 3 months ago? You're lying through your face, Deb. I didn't say anything. It's like it didn't happen. Yeah. It's like when your mother passed away, all that I felt about your mother, when she, because listeners, you know, I loved Anne, but she was a really testing lady as a mother-in-law. You know, we had some great times together, but also we had our differences for sure. But when she passed away, the moment she passed, almost like the next day, all that kind of mixed feeling that I had just went. Just, it was gone.
Yeah.
And how is that? Is that because the energy of what Anne was bringing into our life had gone? Or was it because, I don't know, the contract we had and how we were learning from each other, I was learning from her, had gone, you know. It's quite a deep one, but it's similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I'm being remembered about something when I come here, but then I'm unremembering something about that person when they've gone.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people, you know, when they pass away, everybody looks at them, you know, and not everybody, that's obviously an overstatement, but people can look and say, and they just forget all the bad stuff and they just see the good. It's like, it's not just when people pass away, it's when you break up with somebody. What happens is, you know, if you don't want to break up with that person and you've broken up, what happens is you only remember the good.
Or the bad.
No, you forget the bad. What I'm saying is if you don't want to break up with the person and you're absolutely devastated that it's broken up and they've left you.
Yeah.
What happens is you start torturing yourself with all the good stuff.
I see.
Right. But with people passing, yes, you know, this is a bit spiritual or whatever. But for I feel like, because I believe in an afterlife, I believe that we drop all our negativity with our body.
Wow. Hold our thought. We're going to come right back into that after we've dived into this quick commercial break, listeners. So come back in about 90 seconds and we are diving into the what, Deb? The what was it we're going into after the commercial?
I don't know. I've lost it.
Oh, it'll come back, I'm sure. You've lost it. Let's get looking.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Kiss me quick.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, listeners. Yes, we're back in and we're up and running and we got all kinds of things going in the background here. But so Deb went looking and couldn't find what it was. She went looking in your mind and what, it was empty?
Yeah, it was nothing.
So you couldn't remember what it is we were touching on?
Listen, I'm going through menopause. You just leave me be.
Do you know, I was talking to a friend of mine and so much, because we're in that age, here's the thing. It's like when you're 20s, you're talking about nightclubs and you're talking about going out. Then when you're 30s, conversations change to maybe career, kids. 40s, it changes to, what dog you got? And then when you go in your 50s then, conversations are, the menopause. All my mates, you know, he's in a new relationship. Oh, menopause, going to other friends. Yeah, the menopause becomes the conversation that's normal in your 50s.
Right.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah.
So what's in 60s? Oh, so-and-so has passed. It's like, when you think about it, my mother and father, so-and-so passed, you know.
Yeah, you always get that with them. But mind you, you know, they're in their late 70s, 80s, but... That's how it goes. All went to a funeral last Wednesday.
There's generational talk, isn't it?
There is generational
talk. That doesn't get lost.
And nobody talks about it.
I mean, do you think perhaps, I don't know, 40 years ago, the menopause was spoken about?
No, I don't think so. But that's true for a lot of things. Mental health and, you know, all sorts of things have come up recently that have been helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But menopause is still really not considered in a working environment.
I don't know. I'm seeing it being more, as you say, looked at. And I heard, and bear with me with this, but I heard from a friend of mine that I was doing deep dives with, there's a certain country that they don't have women judges because of the monthly cycle. Because they believe that when the woman is in that monthly cycle, they're in a different mindset. And as a judge, they cannot be, they are not stable enough to give a stable alignment in their decision making as a judge.
Well, shame on that.
And I knew that was going to rattle your boat. But I can't remember. It's one of the, is it East End, whatever it is? You know,
yeah, Middle East. Middle East. That doesn't surprise me.
But it's something like that, where because of the monthly cycle, they're not judges.
Okay, so what about, you know, all the personalities of the men that are just grumpy?
I knew this was going to trigger off a conversation.
Moody, grumpy buggers. What about them?
Well, perhaps there's an invisible cycle the men go through that we've yet to, you know, acknowledge.
Absolutely, because do you know what? Men get more grumpy as they get older, usually.
Well,
and then they go into a mellow.
I think that was a generational thing, because I'm seeing now the men do a lot of work on themselves compared to what they did,
yeah,
you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. So I do believe that there's a healthier mindset.
I agree, because years ago there would always be this nagging wife. Nag, 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 nag.
Well, or maybe, you know, I bet there's more men that do the ironing than women now.
Well, I don't know about that.
I bet there is. Let's put it out there. I bet there's, there's as many men that iron their own clothes as much as women iron clothes.
I believe that you're probably around about right, because there's so many materials now where you don't need ironing.
Is that gaslighting?
No.
Or is it not?
No.
Okay, let
me tell you about gaslighting. So gaslighting is when a thing has happened.
What do you mean a thing?
I don't know. An event has happened.
An event, okay.
An event has happened. You know what it is. Yeah, the person knows what it is, what that event was. Hmm. And yet your partner is trying to tell you that it was a different way. That it didn't happen the way that you saw it happen.
Is this an emotional sense, you mean? Or a physical sense?
All. Okay, so just for example, let's just say you let the dog out. Okay, you just let the dog out.
Well, I'd go out the house.
Yeah, and you weren't supposed to or whatever. And then we get the dog back in. I say, why did you let the dog out? I didn't let the dog out. Yes, you did. I saw it. No, it got out itself.
That's a lie though, then.
Yeah, but what you're trying to tell me also is it's a lie,
mm-hmm.
but it's also trying to tell me the reality that I know.
Or you saw.
Or saw. I didn't see.
Oh, wow.
So you can lie about, I don't know, I spent 20 quid when you really spent 40 quid, right?
So
when you're actually telling me my environment of what I know to be true,
yeah,
and you're changing that, and that over time, drip, 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 over time, I end up not trusting what I'm seeing.
Oh, I see. So gaslighting is when you actually say things enough times that the person that's living with you doesn't believe that what they say anymore is true.
Yeah.
And they distrust even what they decision making.
Their decision making, what they see, what they hear, what they feel, everything.
Wow.
So you end up kind of in fear all the time because you have no trust in anything.
Why would people want to gaslight them? Because doesn't that mean I'm not going to get the true, authentic part of you at all?
Right.
But you What's the point of getting married then, or being in a relationship if you gaslight?
There's loads of different reasons. There's, you know, to have somebody to feed off of. That, you know, there's to have somebody.
What do you feed off? Like what?
Emotionally feed off.
Oh. And I don't quite get that. I don't get that. Because I'm trying to get the purpose of what gaslighting is. Because it sounds a pretty serious thing to me.
It really is a serious thing.
It sounds like that someone effectively loses their own identity.
Yes.
As a human being.
Yes.
Is what it sounds like. So if I'm living with someone that's gaslighting, it means that person has no interest in who I am, what they can make me think, yeah, or make me be.
So they make you think a certain way so they can get away with whatever they want to get away with. There's that. Treat you however they want to treat you for their own ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean by feeding off. Like, you know, so because, you know, this person's not trusting anything.
Or the gaslighting or the person that's on the receiving end of gaslighting.
The receiving end. They won't trust anything. So
in themselves or what they are hearing? Because when you say everything. You don't trust, so you're saying that effectively the person that's being gaslighted,
yeah,
loses trust in their, not just their surroundings, but in their own belief system, what they say, their ideas, their values.
Black, yeah, all of that. What's black isn't black anymore.
What? How much time do you think it takes to condition someone to be gaslighted?
The thing. It's all depending on the people individually. So it's how much that person wants to gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how weak the other person is, using that word lightly.
Or vulnerable.
Vulnerable is probably better.
Because we're not weak, we're vulnerable.
Vulnerable, right.
Or we could be caring.
Empath.
We could be caring for that person.
Yeah, so then everything about that person becomes the highlight. Do you see? So it's all about the other person. Wow. It's not about you anymore. And then you become this, you know, and generally what's paired is an empath,
mm-hmm,
who cares and feels other people's feelings and wants the best for them. With narcissistic people, we've got narcissistic tendencies.
Wow.
Because from my understanding, if I'm correct, it's not just black and white to be a narcissist. You can have covert narcissism. You can have malignant narcissism, but you can also have people that just have tendencies. It's, mm-hmm, almost like a scale, if I'm correct,
mm-hmm,
with that. So it's all dependent. If you've got a full-blown narcissist, they're going to gaslight you out of your own head.
Do you think a gaslighter makes a good salesperson?
Look at you. Because
if you're a good gaslighter, you're effectively convincing someone they need to buy
absolutely
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which means you have to tell them their life needs this, whether they need it or not.
Ooh, that actually makes sense why, you know, all the car salesperson in the 80s were a little bit off.
But isn't that a thought?
That is a thought. Yeah, they're good salespeople, definitely. Definitely. But because what they're doing is they're selling you something all the time.
Yeah.
When you're their partner, they're selling it to you.
Yeah.
But also what they're doing at the same time, it's not just selling something to you. It is where you distrust everything. You distrust the chair you're sitting on, almost,
mm-hmm,
right?
Why? Because you don't feel you're worth that chair, or you don't feel you're worth
because,
the chairs in?
Because you've been, actually, what you've done is you've been conditioned again. You've been conditioned to not be able to trust anything you think. And it happens over time. But again, we can't put a time limit on it because there are different variations of
so
both
So how
sides.
Do you recognise you're a victim of gaslighting?
That's really difficult. That's really difficult because now you're in an environment where you're believing what the other person, you're at the mercy of the other person.
Wow.
You're completely at the mercy of the other person. And other people can say, oh my God, look what's happening in your life. What's going on? You know, but these type of people tend to isolate you anyway. Don't want to get to know your family. They take you away from your friends. They start dissing your friends like, oh, she's not good for you, he's not good for you, blah, blah, blah. You know, and this is men and women. This isn't a man thing. And so they isolate you and isolate you and isolate you till you become just there for them.
Wow.
You're actually like just their little slave.
I mean, this is massively deep for our show today. But
I think it's, you know, we're talking about health.
Yeah.
And this is emotional and mental health,
mm-hmm,
in a really serious way.
But also,
and
I think
it happens a lot.
I think it plays out on all levels of life. You know, relationship. You know, as parents, you can be gaslighting your children.
Massively.
Then you're gaslighting your partner. Then you're gaslighting in your business where you're claiming your business to be a certain way and then you're selling a product from a business that's not that way. Or is that just a lie?
I think that's just a lie.
Do you?
To be honest, yeah. I mean, I think part of the selling is... 'cause, yeah, you're still, it's a very tiny level, but what you're still trying to do is get somebody to believe something that isn't there. So it is that, but it's
if
not...
it's sold unauthentically, then that's what
right,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
could be a gaslighting sale.
Yes, it could be a gaslighting sale.
Wow, I really like that. I'm interested in that. You know what I mean? It's like, what is a gaslighting sale? So gaslighting sale is when you're saying to somebody, you need this, when intentionally you know they don't.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it for the sake of the sale.
So you are, and sometimes with the, you know, that type of person, they don't even need the money. They just like the win.
Mm-hmm.
They just to get them to say yes.
Now that in itself is an emotional trigger.
It's a whole different ball game.
If we slipped into that, we'd need another hour, I guess.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm very serious about this because it's rife.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually rife. The amount of empathic people that are living with people with narcissistic tendencies and don't have any life at all, even though it looks like they do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not.
Wow.
It's rife, Paul. And it's...
So how many clients would you say on average that you work with that... have experienced that kind of gaslighting, I don't know, controlling support
mm-hmm.
in their life? If you'd say on a percentage of your career, how many you'd say would sit in that kind of category as you've had to help because of that?
Actually very low.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the reason why...
Do you know, I expect you to say like 90% or something?
The reason why it's low is because... a lot of people don't get out of those situations, and they wouldn't be able to come to me if they were in that situation, because they would feel they'd feel like they were doing something wrong, and it would be a sin to do it.
Wow.
So they wouldn't be able to talk to me about it, because now you're going against that person. If you go against that person,
the gaslighter.
If you're going against the gaslighter, you're in trouble.
Wow.
You know, now you're now
they
your life's
feel,
gonna be
they feel they're in trouble then.
No, they would be in trouble.
Why you feel... Do you have to be very hypervigilant to be a gaslighter?
Very.
Because you're very hypervigilant. You are.
Yeah, I'm hypervigilant, but I'm also a real empath, and you know that.
You are, man. No,
so let's question you.
There's nothing gaslighty about yourself. You wouldn't even have the lighter to light the gaslight. No. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't know about you, on the other hand.
You know, I don't think I'm a gaslighter, but I certainly think I know how to seed things.
Yes, you do know how to seed
but things. I don't gaslight, because I don't lie.
No.
I don't feel like... I don't, because I know lying doesn't have a good outcome.
Yeah.
It has to come back to you.
You do plant seeds, but I'm aware of your seeds.
Well, of course you are. So they're not really planted. You just know, okay, he's digging for something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you go along with it. But you know what?
And then I go along with it.
You know, no. Listen, I don't ever... And it's important, listeners, you know... The important thing about any relationship, I feel, whether it's business, whether it's, you know, personal, is that... you really do allow your partner to be your partner, but don't do it at the discredit of who you are. Don't dissolve yourself for your partner to be the best they can be. Otherwise, your partner's not being the best.
But not only that, what happens is resentment builds up. Now, resentment, when it starts and it builds up, love can be buried underneath it.
You think you're falling out of love.
You think
I did an article on that this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, it went out on LinkedIn. Somebody asked a question.
I told you about that. You do. You think you've fallen out of love with it. So many divorces don't need to happen. They just need to get rid of the resentment.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and resentment comes both ways. It can be because a person is being a certain way to you, but it also can be that you neglected yourself within it, you know.
Oh, so. Wow. I thought resentment came from a lack of loyalty. When I say loyalty, a loyalty in, you know, your promise to love that person and love for who they are, that's loyal. Loyalty is financial. It's all kinds of things.
Yeah, so loyalty is running all through that. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, what people have to realise is when people get married, they are still making a choice on a daily basis to be with you. Yeah. And so many people take it for granted, to treat people like crap. All sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
You should do this. You should do that. Why haven't you done this? Why, you know what I mean? And all of that. And I don't like it when you do this. And I don't like it. And what happens is you just build up and build up. And then, you know, you end up getting divorced.
Let me ask you a question then. So what is the antidote for a gaslighter to stop gaslighting?
Is to be, every time they gaslight, is for you to get them on it. It's for you to tell them.
No, no. So I'm a gaslighter. I know I'm a gaslighter. And I want to, just for this conversation, so I know I'm a gaslighter and I know it's a disease. I know it's something I'm struggling. I know it's something that I inherited. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm not good with it. I'm not a good person because I'm a gaslighter. I know that I'm controlling the person I want to stop. But here's the thing. Stopping, though, is not easy because I'm very loyal to my gaslighting because that's what my self-worth is. But I know there's a thought that's saying, I got to stop. I got to find a way out. Yeah. How do I do that?
Well, what you would do is you would get into the place that you're vulnerable. If you actually want to stop, a lot of people don't want to stop, you see, because they don't care enough to stop. They just mm-hmm. need it. But if you actually truthfully wanted to stop and you were serious about it, we would have to go into the depths of you to find where that vulnerability is, because it's all about control, you see. Mm-hmm. And you need to have control. And if you don't have 100% control or 99% control, then you're feeling vulnerable and scared.
How do I know if I'm a gaslighter?
You'll know.
No, I won't, because it's normal for me. Controlling this person, again, just for this conversation, so we could say, I'm a gaslighter, but I don't know. So how would I recognize if I'm a gaslighter?
I think if you really stopped and listened to yourself, you'd know. I don't think you can be a gaslighter and not know you're doing it.
Wow.
I think at some level, you're going to know it.
But then what prevents us from knowing that is what? Our ego? Is selfishness?
Is fear.
Fear. So gaslighting comes from fear.
I would say so, yeah.
I listen. You're an expert at all these things.
Well, I'm not an expert, but you know.
You are, man.
But
that's gaslighting. I just put a CD for a new bike. No, you are an expert in this. You're amazing. It's what you do for a living. And by the way, if you want to have a one-to-one with Deb and you want to pick up on her Fresh Freedom program, because this is where all this kind of works out, doesn't it, in your Fresh Freedom, they can get you on Facebook.
Yes, Deb's Reese.
Deb's Reese on Facebook. You can't miss it. Blonde lady. By the way, she's blonde again, all over again. And there's a website.
Website is deborahreese.co.uk.
Deborahreese.co.uk. Needs a bit of work, but she's on there for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can reach out to Deb. She has a mobile, which is
07842 425967.
Perfect. We're going to push that out before the end of the show.
And then, also, you can email me on info@accoladeacademy.com.
Look at you marketing your business. She never markets her business, but yet is full always. Isn't that fab? And on that note, listeners, we're going to dive in quickly to our second commercial, and we'll be back in a mere 90 seconds.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back to the show. Yes, we've been really deep diving, listeners, to Deb's version of gaslighting, torchlight. Could be torchlighting now in a modern sense. You're a torchlighter. Or your lead lighting.
Right.
It's lead lights now, isn't it? Your lead lighter.
Well, actually, it was. I don't know the whole story, but I know that it started with a couple, I think, where, I don't know, he was turning the gas lamps on all those years ago and kept saying that he wasn't. But you were turning the gas lamps on. No, I haven't.
Oh, wow.
When nobody else could have. It was actually him. So I think, you know, it's a whole bigger story than that, but that's the crux of it. So,
wow, these sayings come back from such a long time ago, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you stick two fingers up when you're telling you're doing a rude thing by sticking two fingers up. I mean, that came from the time when all the
archers,
yeah. And when they would capture them, they would chop their fingers off. Because they couldn't be an archer anymore.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what happened was every time they win a war, they'd stick up the two fingers because the archers still got their fingers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's amazing where all these things come from. Do you know what I mean?
I know. I dread to think what the middle finger is, but let's just leave it at that.
You know, I love these discussions. I love the way we deep dive into the stuff. And you know, when we think about, you know, when with the gaslighting, I love because so many, you know, listeners think about, you know, the people in your life. Think about the people that are not just in your life, but around your life. Recognize it. And understanding people is really important, I feel. Coming back to the one pint people and 10 gallon people. It's really important to understand your expectations. And when you've got a greater emotional understanding of who they are, and then you can manage those expectations, which gives you more value to yourself.
Exactly. And, you know, I think one of the best things for a relationship is freedom. So I'm going to just let you do you in all aspects of your life. I'm just going to let you do you. And if it comes to a point with you doing you that it doesn't serve me or fit me, then I'll leave.
Wow.
And vice versa. Now, don't get me wrong, because we have to have compromise and we have to have communication. So we have to have those things. But it's to the level of the compromising, you see. Because you are two people from different backgrounds trying to make one life.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. But that's where a lot of growth comes from. But I do believe that to avoid resentment, trash in your relationship, let the person be them.
But what if the person being them is a gaslighting person?
Then you leave.
But how do you know? Because this is a bit that's complicating me is that you say there's a lot of self-recognition to knowing if you are that kind of delivering person as a gaslighter.
Yeah, well, there's a lot, but also there can be a little bit. Right? So I think if you really deep down reflected, you'd know that's what you do.
Wow.
But I also think that I want to say that as soon as the other person recognises that they're living with somebody like that, they've got a choice now, haven't they? They've got a choice. You know, and they wouldn't even have to recognise that you are gaslighting per se. They can just know they've got no freedom.
Okay.
And they're controlled and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And until they get their own sense of self and self-love to a degree where they can say, you know what? I'm not here. I wasn't put on this earth for you. I was put on this earth for me.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, but then there's all kinds of trauma bonds that keep people together and all sorts of other stuff.
Wow, so, you said trauma bombs. That's awesome.
Trauma bonds.
Oh, I thought you said trauma bombs.
Same thing, really.
Well, it can be. You can imagine a trauma bomb. It's like, whoa, that's what it must feel like.
Yeah.
Wow. Gone into an old something else now. Do you know what I mean?
But you know, we were talking about cortisol earlier. Well, people that are living with this type of, you know, narcissistic person, they will be in cortisol all the time because they're walking on eggshells and they don't know what's what.
Yeah.
It's like being in an emotional minefield.
Wow. That's pretty full on. Well, here's the thing. It's like, so what we get from this show, you know?
Oh, trauma bombs then. We could say they are trauma bombs.
Trauma bombs. I love that idea. Well, I don't love that idea. I just get what it means. So what we covered in the show is really looking at, you know, looking at that gaslighting kind of emotion. And I want to also put this in, you know, are you a gaslighting salesperson? Give that some thought. Are you authentic or gaslighting? Are you selling so they are actually needing and improving their life? Or are you selling because you're meeting the KPIs? And trust me, if you're selling because you're just meeting KPIs, then the universe is going to change that.
Yeah.
It has to. Because you're a gaslighting salesperson.
Listen, let me tell you this. Any negativity is like a splinter in your finger. I've said this before. And if you ignore the splinter in your finger, it'll go septic.
Mm-hmm.
But then what it'll do is it'll make its own way out because it's a foreign body in your body. So your body will push it out.
Negativity.
Same thing with the universe.
Wow.
So the universe will push the negativity out so it's out in the open.
Wow. That goes for, it's like, okay, let's look at, I'm going to just bring it because I love biking. Yeah. If we look at the Tour de France and Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
you know, all those times he won and kept disguising, eventually the universe pushed it out in such a massive level that he was wiped clean of all those yellow jerseys and those champions.
Because it's exact as well. It's the exact deceit or the exact negativity. That's what it's like. It's karmic, but it's actually just pushing that negativity out.
And it's measure for measure then. So the size of the deceit becomes the measure of karma.
Yeah.
Wow.
And vice versa for the good stuff.
Mm.
But the good stuff doesn't need to be buried. I mean, and even if the good stuff is buried because somebody is under the thumb of somebody else and their good deeds and everything don't go unnoticed or goes unnoticed, that will then push out as well. Wow. So, yeah.
I'm really not sure, you know, do you think this has been a positive show, Deb?
Yeah, I think it's been a positive show because anything that highlights, if there's one person listening and they are either recognizing themselves as a gaslighter or having narcissistic tendencies and wants to change, which is quite rare, or you've got somebody that's living in a relationship like that, then what we've done today is we've highlighted the fact that actually this is what's going on with you. Yeah. If anybody's out there and they are truly feeling like they are being controlled to a level that is totally unacceptable to them, they might be trauma bonded to stay, you see. Yeah. So if we're trauma bonded to stay, that means that they feel like they can't live without them. They feel guilty. They feel all these things. But we've just highlighted it and made people aware. And in fact, what we've done is we've planted a seed.
Yeah.
So it's not negative.
So let's throw out your details. Yeah. So Deb has a beautiful Fresh Freedom program. You know that you are always capacity. Yeah, I love that, and there's always people want to come on with you. So we go to Facebook, which is
Deb's Reese.
There's lots of Deb's Reese's, though. Do you know what I mean? Well, how do you know we've hit you? Is it because you're blonde hair?
Blonde.
You'll find out. What's your mobile number?
Well, when you click on Deb's Reese, you'll see that I've got my Fresh Freedom saying it in my bio.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
See, I said she was pantser marketing. What's your mobile number?
07842 425 967.
That's him. 07842 425 967. And email is
info@accoladeacademy.com.
Let's finish off with your website.
DeborahReese.co.uk.
Happy days. You said .com last time.
No, it's .co.uk. And none of it syncs. Can you see that?
Yeah.
None of it syncs.
Listeners, this has been a fantastic show. Thank you ever so much for being here and listening to our deep dive again. We're going to catch you, depending on whether Deb is here or not, this time next week. You have an amazing, amazing week. Love who you are. Love why you're here. Love everything about your life.
And also, make your freedom your top priority.
Yes. Freedom, Las Vegas. Until this time next week, bye for now and boom! Emotion.